So the title of my talk is Soil Genesis on the Bishop Creek Moraines of Eastern Sierra Nevada, California. The Sierra Nevada mountain range stretches approximately 640 kilometers from north to south along eastern California. And this range was extensively glaciated throughout the Quaternary. And as a result, on both the east and west side of the moraine, or of the range, we see sets of moraines. And in many places, repeated advances and retreats of the glaciers have led to multiple moraines, and the soils formed on these moraines are of different ages and represent a soil chronosequence. Moraine soil chronosequences have been used in many areas to determine the glacial chronologies of the area and identify past climates. The goal of our research was to track pedogenesis across a moraine chronosequence where the chronology was relatively well understood. And that way we could maybe use some of the information we gained from our knowledge of these soils to other areas where the chronology is not as well understood. The area we chose to focus on was the Bishop Creek Moraines, located about 12 kilometers southwest of Bishop, California, on the east side of Sierra Nevadas. The elevation ranges from about 1,600 to 2,400 meters across the moraines, and this has an effect on the climate that we saw. At the lower elevations, we had a neritic moisture regime and a mesic temperature regime, and then at the higher elevation sites, we went to a xeric moisture regime and a frigid temperature regime. Vegetation at the area was mainly cold desert shrubs, and the till deposited in these moraines is mostly of plutonic igneous rocks, granodiorites, diorites, hornblende gabbro, and quartz monzonite. The moraine ages were determined by some work done by Phillips et al., and they used cosmogenic surface dating techniques and stratigraphic relationships to determine the ages of these moraines. They range in age from 15,000 to 170,000 years. We sampled seven moraines, two from the Tioga Glaciation and five from the Tahoe Glaciation. And the approximate ages are given there, and then the relative ages are indicated by the numbers. For example, Tahoe 1 is the oldest of the Tahoe moraines. Tahoe 5 is the youngest of the Tahoe moraines. We sampled, at all of these sites, we sampled at the moraine crest. The pits were dug to about 80 centimeters because that's where we reached relatively unweathered till. And we described and sampled by horizons. So we'll start by looking at the youngest of the soils that we looked at, those formed on the Tioga moraines. And one thing to keep in mind, these soils appear relatively, their development is relatively weak, and part of that is because the age of the soils isn't the same as the age of the moraines. When the moraines are first deposited, they have a very sharp, narrow crests and steep slopes on the sides. And over time, soon after deposition, there's erosion, and the slopes are lowered and the crests broaden, and then soil begins to develop later. So the surface age is much younger than the moraine age itself. You will notice that we do see some development in the youngest soil here, more than we see in the Tioga 1. There's this weak BT horizon. There were a few thin patchy clay films, and we did not see clay accumulation in the Tioga 1. And this has to do with the climatic differences with elevation that I mentioned before. Tioga 4 is located about 400 meters in elevation above Tioga 1, so there's slightly more precipitation, and as a result, we have more weathering and greater alluviation, which is why we see that BT horizon. Also, because of the increased precipitation, there's more vegetation at the Tioga 4 site, and so there was greater accumulation of organic matter, and we actually saw a mollic epipedon at Tioga 4, and we did not see mollic colors at any of the rest of the sites because they were in lower elevations with lower precipitation. You'll also notice there's a very thin vesicular horizon, and I'll talk about that more in some of the other soils where it's better developed. And there's a thin accumulation of grass at the surface. The subsurface clasts were unweathered and non-porous. We look at the youngest of the Tahoe soils, we begin to see a little bit more development. You can see there's BT horizons in both of these soils, and the clay accumulations were in bands or clay lamellae. There wasn't enough of a clay increase for these to be argillic horizons. You'll also notice that the granitic subsurface class started to weather, and so they had about 10% porosity, so they could be dug through with a shovel pretty easily. And we also have a pretty prominent vesicular horizon in all of the Tahoe soils. The vesicular horizon is a surface or near-surface horizon found in a lot of semi-arid to arid climates throughout the world, and it's typified by a large number of well-developed vesicular pores, and it often has columnar or platy structure. At the Bishop Creek Moraines, the vesicular horizons occurred underneath a 4 to 5 centimeter thick layer of coarse, loose, single-grain sandy material. And we called this a CA or an AC. We believe this material was sediment or grust that has weathered from the surface class. And then at the very surface, you can see in this picture here, there's a layer of fine gravels, and this is just more of the grust that has weathered off. On the soils where we saw a strong vesicular horizon, particularly all of the Tahoe soils, you can see there's an increase in the amount of silt where the vesicular horizon is. And this indicates the importance of aeolian deposition. And this is found in a lot of areas with vesicular horizons, that aeolian deposition is an important component of their formation. At the Tioga soils, we don't see very strong vesicular horizons. We also don't see that increase in dust. At first glance, it seems like this might be related to age, and that over time there's more deposition and you get a better vesicular horizon. We think location of the moraines might actually be playing a larger factor. Most other studies in the area have found that a lot of this aeolian deposition occurred at the start of the Holocene. As pluvial lakes dried, the influx of dust increased, and the vesicular horizons formed soon afterwards. The Tahoe moraines are located at the mouth of the canyon, very close to the valley floor, which would have been the source for the dust, whereas the Tioga moraines are located further up the canyon and likely received less dust because they were better sheltered from the wind. And so we think that the reason why we don't see these vesicular horizons on the younger moraines is just because they didn't receive the same dust inputs. If we look at the next of the Tahoe soils, you can see the BT horizons are becoming somewhat more prominent, and this is actually an argillic horizon. There was enough of a clay increase. You can see the granitic subsurface class are becoming increasingly weathered, and you can also see again the vesicular horizons and the overlying grust layers. This is the oldest, or the soil developed on the oldest of the moraines, and you can see the argillic horizon is much thicker, and the clay lamellae show up a little bit better in this picture. You can see some of them. In addition to clay films in the lamellae, we also found in the weathered rocks, and this is a very well weathered granitic rock here, we found clay films in the fractures of the weathered rock. This picture here is a thin section from one of the weathered granitic rocks, and you can see the clay films lining the pores here. This soil also began to show weak silica cementation. At the bottom two horizons here, the soil had a very hard consistence, but there was no accumulation of carbonates, the soils didn't effervesce, and the pHs ranged between 5.5 and 6.5. And so we think pedogenic silica is starting to cause a cementation. This PEDS would slake in water, so it was not a DuraPan. So we devised a conceptual model kind of to explain the processes that were occurring at the site. So when the moraines are first deposited, they have these very sharp, narrow crests, and then erosion occurs and the crests broaden. And once it begins to stabilize, we begin to have soil formation, including the formation of clay lamellae. Often during glacial periods, there can be very strong wind events, and these winds could blow down the canyon and often would strip surface fines away from the soil and remove evidence of pedogenesis. So that's part of why we don't see a lot of development, even though the chronosequence is 170,000 years. We've probably lost some of pedogenesis that has occurred. From this point, we can envision two different pathways. Under the first, the surface class weather, depositing that layer of grust at the surface. And then at the start of the Holocene, when aeolian deposition increases, we begin to, that grust layer could trap the fines, and it could act as a desert pavement being lifted upwards as a vesicular horizon forms underneath. However, this grust layer is much finer than most desert pavements, so we're not sure if it could actually be lifted in the same way that a desert pavement would be. Under the second pathway, the alien deposition and vesicular horizon formation occurs right at the surface, and then as alien deposition slows and the surface class weathering rates increase, the grus is deposited on top of the vesicular horizon. Under both these pathways, we still see today continued weathering of the surface class contributing to that grus layer, and there's likely still some alien deposition occurring, although these rates have slowed. There's an increase in clay films and clay lamellae as we have more weathering of primary minerals and translocation of fines, and the subsurface class, particularly the granitic class, continue to weather. Kind of the overall conclusions of our study, we found the soils were fairly complex, including three different parent materials, the glacial till, aeolian dust, and grus from both the surface class and the subsurface class. Pedogenesis was characterized by accumulations of clay and silica, the development of a vesicular horizon, and clast weathering, particularly of the granitic class. However, soil development was very weak over the whole chronosequence. There's three factors that we can kind of attribute this to. The first is that we had post-depositional erosion of the moraines, so the surface ages are much younger than the moraine ages themselves. Episodic aeolian erosion that occurred throughout the chronosequence likely removed a lot of evidence of pedogenesis. And then the dry climate of the area limits the weathering of primary minerals and the formation of secondary minerals. Thank you, and I can take any questions now.
Annie, how do the ages of these moraines correlate to, say, the advance of the Wisconsin or the Illinoisan age glaciers that we see in the continental parts?
Well, so these were go back to the ages, maybe that'll help. I think, I'm not sure on exactly which ones, but I know like a lot of them are at similar times. The oldest of them is 170,000 years, the Tahoe. And I'm not sure which of the continental glaciations it's associated with, because I'm not as familiar with those.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't answer that more specifically.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah.
In terms of accumulation in the vesicular, did you try putting any dust pans or anything in like that?
We didn't have any out there, but I know in other studies in the area they have measured that dust is still accumulating, but not at the rates it was before.
And is there a trend of that with elevation as well, or are there not enough dust pans out there? To
yeah, because they're not in that particular canyon, they're in other areas. I do know from other work that's been done in that canyon, they haven't, even on some of these, I can show on this map here, some of these lateral moraines extend much further up the canyon. So where we describe vesicular horizons, then on the same moraine further up, the vesicular horizons aren't there. And so it could be because of the location of the dust, climate may also start to play an effect as it's moister further up. Yeah, we did find in places, next to shrub, like underneath the shrubs, we didn't see the vesicular horizons. It was more of in the inner shrub spaces.
Last one, Grant.
Quick question. I know you've seen the tills in the Tahoe Basin that are offset by faulting, Holocene fault. You see that similar kind of stuff in Bishop Creek, or did you think of that?
Yeah, there's some similarities. I know one thing we saw, like on that trip, was the silica cementation in the. And we saw like the actual nodules and everything, which we didn't really see here, but a lot of the limited weathering features were pretty similar, very coarse textured, and not a lot of clay accumulations.
But no clear tectonic
No, no. This canyon, part of why we picked this one is because the moraines are fairly, there wasn't a whole lot of tectonic movement and there wasn't a lot of overlap of the moraines. So, and the glacier actually changed path a few times, so the moraines ended up very separate from each other, so they weren't, it wasn't quite as complicated as that set that we looked at on the trip.
Okay, thanks, Andy.